We're thinking this evening about the question, why bother with God? I hope you've all got your drinks and enjoying those. There's some questions for you to have a chat about and some of those sheets on the tables. So our question this evening is, why bother with God? Which is another little small one that we're taking on this month. Some people, I guess, in response to a question like that, why bother with God, might talk about how God has been particularly important to them during times of crisis or difficulty. And therefore we should bother with God because he's been good. He's been their strength through dark times. But the truth is, thank goodness, that life isn't always like that. There are some times when life is great and wonderful. And therefore we might think, well, why in those situations would I need to bother with God at all? And actually, even when it comes to times when life is difficult, I've got different ways of coping. If God works for this Christian friend of mine, then that's great. I'm really pleased for them. But I've got other ways of coping through difficult times in life, other things that get me through, good friends or whatever it might be. So why bother with God in those situations? I'm fine, thank you very much. Well, it probably won't surprise you to hear that as a Christian, I think that even in those kind of situations, it's still important for us to bother with God. It's still important for us to think about him. But I wonder what reasons you might expect me to give in answer to that question, why bother with God? I suspect that one thing you might expect me to say would be that, well, the reason we're to bother with God is because one day we will have to answer to him, that he will call us to account one day, both for how we've treated those around us and, more importantly, for how we've treated him. We should bother with God because at the end of it all, he's the one that we answer to. And the thing is, that's true. That's what the Bible tells us. And it leaves us with a problem because God is utterly good, completely good, and I'm not, and none of us are. But the good news of the Christian faith is that God offers to wipe our slate clean if we turn to him, if we trust in what the Lord Jesus has done for us, for the forgiveness that he gives us by his death on the cross, as we make him the king that he's supposed to be as God himself. It's true, God will call us to account, and so we should bother with him. But here's the thing. That's not a particularly great motivator for bothering with God, is it? Actually, what it leaves you with is quite a stern, nasty God who we'd rather keep at arm's length for as long as possible. You see, if avoiding God's judgment is all that motivates us to bother with him, then we're likely to want to leave it for as long as possible before we cave in, before we do anything about it, aren't we? Because why else would you want to do anything? I mean, yes, we could get knocked down by a bus this evening. I hope none of us do. It could happen, but it's probably worth the risk in order to live a little before you have to give in and listen to God later on. In the words of Billy Joel in his song, Only the Good Die Young, I'd rather laugh with the sinners than cry with the saints. The sinners are much more fun. If I have to bother with God, then I'd rather just leave it till the very last minute. And in the meantime, I'm going to enjoy myself. Because all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy, and so does bothering with God. It makes you pretty dull and uninteresting, and life's a bit miserable. Except, if you're going to bother with the God that we see in the Bible, that we read about in the Bible, that being dull is the last thing you should expect to be. Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that everything is easy when you trust in God and become a Christian, but I'm saying you shouldn't be a dull person. Quite the opposite. Why bother with God? Well, here's why bother with God. Because why wouldn't you want to bother with a God like the God of the Bible? A God who made the world that we see around us. A God of a world of infinite wonder and grandeur and beauty and variety and excitement and imagination and creativity and sheer gobsmacking joy that we see in the world around us. From the awesome splendor of the Grand Canyon to the beauty of a sunset spreading across the horizon, to the humour of a duck-billed platypus. I mean, what a ridiculous looking creature. To the intricacy and variety of flowers in a meadow, to the precision of a fly's compound eye. I mean, he could have made a world that simply works, that functions. And instead, he made a world that lights up with beauty and that sings with joy. He made a world that brings delight to our senses and that is full of intrigue for our minds. And you see, this God offers us the opportunity not just to see him from afar, but to know him and to relate to him and to enjoy him I wonder if you've ever been asked the question, who you'd most like, living or dead, to invite to a dinner party around your house, and you kind of think through all those famous characters through history or famous people today you'd love to have over for a meal. I wonder who would be on your list. Maybe it would be great artists or musicians or actors or sportsmen or historical figures, whoever it might be. But people who could give you an insight into how and why they wrote or performed or painted or influenced the world. And who wouldn't want to be in a dinner party like that? Most fascinating bunch of people you could imagine. Well, why bother with God? Well, for the same reasons, but multiplied a million times. Because why wouldn't you want to know the source of all beauty and wonder and creativity and delight and the very source of life itself? You see, of course, the thing is with the dinner party idea, it's a great discussion thing to have, but it's never going to happen, is it? It's never going to happen, not just because some of those people that you'd like to meet are long dead, but even if you pick living people, it's still never going to happen. Because they don't know you. And with the best will in the world, they're not going to be that interested or enthusiastic about a dinner party with you or with me because they don't know us. Even if you get them into your house and seated round your table, let's be honest, it's still not going to be a straightforward evening, is it? It's going to be a bit awkward because there's no relationship there. You don't know them. There's going to be long periods of silence. After all, stop and think about it. Who in the end are the people that you really want to bother with? That you really want to hang around with for a coffee or for dinner, with whom a dinner party is really great fun. It's the people you love in the end, isn't it? It's family and good friends that you enjoy a night out with down the pub or at the restaurant. It's the people that you're drawn to and enjoy spending time with because they're old mates, they're close family. They're people you like and you know well. Well, why bother with God? Well, not simply because he is the most interesting, most stimulating, most awesome person ever, but because he is also the kindest, most generous, most delightful, most loving person ever. Because he has loved you beyond your wildest dreams, even to the extent of being willing to die for you and for me that we might be forgiven. So we've just celebrated Remembrance Day, haven't we? And it's been particularly poignant this year with the 100th anniversary of the start of World War I, and we've recalled the men and women who have laid down their lives on our behalf. And that's a picture of what Jesus has done for us, only he has achieved far more for us. He's achieved real life and real freedom and forgiveness for all that we've done wrong. So why bother with God? Well, put simply, not simply because we have to answer to him one day, but because the opportunity is there for us to know and to enjoy him now. Because he offers us life, fullness of life, which is to know him, the source of all life and goodness. And also to be loved by him. The wonder of being loved by the one who gave up his very life for us. You see, when someone is that exciting and wonderful and awesome and delightful, then why wouldn't you want to be bothered with him? The God you think about being bothered with, what's he like? Because the God of the Bible is wonderful, the best person to spend time with. And when you see that he loves you enough to die for you, then why wouldn't you think that knowing him is the best thing ever? Because he is the source of real joy.